The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, the apologetic John Orlando, and I'll explain why I'm giving myself that moniker in just a few moments. But welcome to episode number 167. Oh man, I'm going to apologize to all the listeners out there. And that's why I gave myself that moniker, because this episode isn't exactly the episode that I was going to bring to you this week. As a matter of fact, on the last mini episode just a week ago, I talked about how I was going to do an in-depth, detailed review of my weekend at All In. And I was going to have a guest, Will, a friend of the podcast. He's been on before, a huge wrestling fan. He was out there, and I had invited him over to Casa de la Orlando so we could sit down and we could talk about the weekend, because I did things that he didn't do, he did things that I didn't do, but we both went to the All-In show at the Sears Center. But unfortunately, on the day that we were going to record that episode, I got a text from him, middle of the afternoon, saying that he was sick as a dog and he was going to go home. He was just going to rest up and he didn't want to, you know, maybe come and do the podcast and get me ill, which I appreciate, Will. I do appreciate that. So we have postponed that episode. Hopefully next week I'll have it up and going. It's going to happen. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's going to happen. I want to share that experience that I had with all of you, the listeners, and I want to share Will's experience as well. We're going to, you know, swap notes, so to speak. But what can I say? You know, things happen. And, you know, that's just how the nature of podcasting is. You think you have everything lined up, and sometimes life throws a wrench in the plan. So what I decided to do was kind of move this episode up a week, as it was slated to go next week. But the guest that I'm going to talk to is the man that's been on this podcast a couple of different times. I believe this is his third solo appearance here on the PVD Cast, but I'm going to be sitting down talking to Mr. Ken Epstein. Longtime listeners of the PVD Cast probably recognize that name. Ken's been on a couple different times, but he's coming back on to talk about some new projects that he has coming up. And allow me real quickly for the new listeners to let you know that Ken is an independent comic book creator here in Columbus, Ohio. He's been doing it a while. He's got a lot of really cool comics out there, especially if you're really into music, because it's a big part of Ken's life, and he fuses a lot of his comics with a heavy musical background. So we're going to be talking about some new projects that he has coming out. And those are going to be, of course, released during the week of the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus Festival, CXC, beginning with a big release party at Used Kids Records on Thursday, September 27th from 6 to 8. Now, Used Kids is a great little record store here in Columbus, Ohio. You can Google the address if you happen to be in the area and you want to go down on the 27th. But it's not only going to be a celebration of comics, but also live music is going to be there. In fact, Bob Ray Starker and Matt Wyatt, two local cartoonists, will be performing there at, of course, Used Kids Records. For all the information, and if you want to purchase tickets, all you got to do is go to www.nix-retail.com. Or just get a hold of Ken, and you can find him, ken@nixcomics.com. That's the email address, or find him on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all at Nix Comics. But since I mentioned it when I was talking about Ken, let's talk about CXC, the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus 2018. It's happening in downtown Columbus, Ohio, September 27th through September 30th. It's a comics art animation festival. It's, let me just tell you, it's really good. I missed last year. I made the other two previous ones prior to that. And it's a free citywide arts festival. I mean, it takes place at a variety of different places. The Billy Ireland Cartoon Library and Museum, the Columbus College of Art and Design, Columbus Metropolitan Library, the Wexner Center. There's a whole gigantic slew of places where different events are going to be going on over those 4 days. And not to mention, they're bringing in some very special guests. Kazu Kabushi, Michael DeForge, Lynn Johnson, Jeff Smith, Charles Vess, Annie Koyama, Brian Michael Bendis, Jib Woodring, and many, many more are going to be there. It's a great, great event. You definitely want to be down there September 27th through the 30th. And if you need any information, all you have to do is go to cartooncrossroadscolumbus.com. And if you're like me and you can't get that right, all you got to do is go to pvdcast.com, go to the links tab, and there's a link right there. So if you don't remember, just like I did, if you don't remember the website, there's no excuses. It's right there on pvdcast.com in the links section. So I can't believe I messed it up. Hey, let me tell you about something else that's happening here in the near future for yours truly. I'm going to be part of the Monroe Comic Con again in Monroe, Michigan. And that Comic Con is a great one-day event. It's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Monroe Bank and Trust Expo Center. They're going to have a ton of people there, including Glenn Fabry, who I am super excited to hopefully meet. But some other guests that are going to be there, AJ Buckley, Stephanie Bennett, Camille Hyde, Rob Miller, Jason Moore, Arvell Jones, Jonathan Rand, Dave Acosta, Kirby Fagan, and a whole host of other individuals. You don't want to miss the Monroe Comic Con. If you got nothing to do on Saturday, September 15th, just get in the car, drive on up there. If you're here in Ohio, it's about a 3-hour drive. Come on by, say hello to me. I'm going to be at the Staunch Ambition table hanging out with my man Brian Lau. We're going to be selling some books, meeting some people, talking to some people, making podcasts, and it's going to be a great time, as it was last year when I ventured on up to Monroe, Michigan. Hey, speaking of making podcasts, if you haven't heard episode 258 of the Canned Air podcast, you need to. It was a little project that I teamed up with Jeremy from the Canned Air podcast to kind of do a how-to episode of a podcast on how-to podcast. I know, man, it's like an enigma, isn't it? it's like Inception, man. We decided to sit down and talk about, you know, if you're an average Joe that's sitting at your home and you're like, I want to create my own podcast, but I need some advice on how to get started. Jeremy and I just share some of our experiences, give some of the tips and the tricks and some of the advice that we can give you for starting your own podcast. And by all means, we're not experts, we're not professionals, but we've done this for a while and we think we know what we're doing. So we decided to sit together and create this particular episode. So if you haven't, go to cannedairpodcast.com. It's right there on the page, or wherever you get your podcasts from, all you got to do is search for Canned Air Podcast. Those guys are everywhere. I had a blast, and hey, if you have questions about podcasting, if you listen to that episode and you're like, I'm confused by this, John, or John, I think you got this wrong, let me know, man. Let me know, and you could shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @PVDMVP. You can also leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast, that, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And man, oh man, this intro is taking a long time, so let's get right on into it because I got to mention our sponsor, and our sponsor for today's podcast is Audible. You can get a free audiobook download in a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, tablet, iPad, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. I've told you many times that they have thousands of books. As I said just a few seconds ago, 180,000 titles. That's mind-boggling. But I guarantee they have a book that's just right for you. So, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm back with Ken Epstein. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am on location for this episode of the PVDcast. sitting down with Ken Epstein. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We're here at the Ohio Union at OSU.
It is. I brought you here, didn't
you,
I?
You did. You did, because you're enrolled down here at OSU. You're a student again.
Yeah, I am the 47-year-old freshman. That's not true. I think I qualify as a sophomore, but with past credit.
You know what? That sounds like a great movie, The 47-Year-Old Sophomore.
Maybe a good book title. There was a great book. Well, I've heard it's a great book about a woman who returned to art school at a similar age.
Really?
I'd like to read about her experiences of that. Huh. And what I'm doing isn't quite art school. I mean, I guess ironically enough, since we're talking about my comics, but it is an experience.
Yeah, most definitely. It has been a good experience, what you told me off air
so
far.
Yeah, it's been a terrific experience so far. You know, there's not. I think I made a joke about like all the kids being so young, which they are compared to me.
Sure.
But they're bright. You know, I a lot of great kids. The teachers are engaging. It's a different experience from when I was, however old, and honestly, kind of a jerk about the whole student thing.
You know what? I'm just gonna, and I've talked about this, I think, before on this podcast. I really think that age, the way I was raised, the way I was brought up, age is nothing more than an excuse people use for not doing what they want to do. You know, think about how many people go, well, I'm too old to go back to school, or I'm too old to switch careers. Who says?
Well, I mean, you know? I started making comics at 39, right?
So I had
experience with dealing with that age gap, and I still have that age gap for the comic stuff, which is... It's worse in comics in a way.
Really? How's it worse in comics in a way?
Well, the younger generation of indie comics, the kind of stuff you see at SPX or Space, are very much into what they're doing and have a healthy, I think this is a great healthy thing, disregard for older people. And then the people who are my age... group have all known each other for 25 years, so that's not a group that's easily accessible to me either. So I think as a nearly 50-year-old dude in comics, it's a lot. There's no structure like the school provides for. Okay, yes, but this is your common framework. They have their own individual frameworks. Within their communities that allow them to proceed.
So you kind
of on my own.
I was gonna say you kind of feel in the middle.
On my own, I think is a more apt.
Okay.
More apt way to put it.
Okay.
It's just different, and sometimes that's good.
Sure.
I think that gives me opportunities that maybe some of the people who have more of a canon don't necessarily have.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit, and let's back up some, just because there could be some new listeners who are not familiar with your previous appearances here on the PVD cast, of which I think, if I remember correctly, the last time we talked on this podcast was at What the Rock.
What the Rock.
So I see a trend. You and I are always on location.
first time we were squirreled away in a room in the public library. I remember. That's not technically location. Well, and What the Rock was a great, great experience for the year. You know, I had basically a little pop-up shop inside of another store, and I used the funds that I made selling that kind of records and comics to produce my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, kind of a recurring theme in how I like to operate. Keep the money in the community, or generate money within the community as best you can.
Okay. All right. So I think you just answered my first question that I was going to mention for the new listeners. You've been doing your own comics, publishing your own comics for a number of years.
Yep. I think this is seven or eight years.
And you're pretty much influenced by a lot of different things. B-movies, kind of that garage rock, indie rock, punk rock kind of of environment. What's your background in those particular fields?
Gotcha.
Example, like what drew you to punk rock music?
What drew me to punk rock music? Oh gosh. Those were the kids I wanted to be with when I was young, you know? I think now there's maybe some glamorization of it that's not quite apt. But, you know, I was not somebody who fit in easily in school. I was not somebody who liked what other people liked in a mainstream sort of way for the most part. You know, it was a glorious day when as a kid in school, I could talk about Joan Jett or the Kinks, but then it would move on to it would move on to Foghat or some shit.
Okay.
You know, and I would be left out of the conversation again.
But that experience and that your fandom for that type of music, you use heavily in your comics.
I do. I mean, you write about what you know,
right?
That was such a big part of my life for so long. Before I started making comics, I wanted to be solely like a record store owner. So I have that experience of trying to start up brick and mortar stores like a couple times over this point. Because I wanted to, you know, again, have that sense of community and be a force for perpetuation of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same with comic books, and you know, to me those will forever intersect as the grounds of commonality that I can find with people as a kid in the 80s and mm-hmm. I guess even as early as the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was awful young in the 70s, but
so when it came to comics, you obviously kind of geared yourself more towards independence. As a kid, or did you dabble?
That was
a
college thing.
Okay, that was a college thing. But you dabbled in Marvel and DC and all the big
names?
Was
more than dabbling. You know,
I use that term loosely.
Yeah, when I started reading comics, it was the day of the 7-Eleven and the drugstore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you bought what was on the spinner rack if you wanted comics,
right?
And it was, you know, I loved Superman. I still do Superman, The Flash, and probably the biggest. Coolest thing that ever happened to me was discovering the X-Men, because I have two older brothers, and they would, I don't know if they would fess up to it or not, but they would steal my comics and like read them and squirrel them away in their rooms, which were, you didn't go into your brother's room unless you wanted a beating, you know?
Yeah, right.
But the X-Men, they didn't recognize, and so they didn't steal the X-Men.
Oh, look at that. You pulled a fast one on them.
A little bit, I think. A little bit. They didn't, and that was right when I started reading those, was the kind of height of that Byrne Claremont run of X-Men, again, fed into that finding a community where you don't belong, right?
Yeah,
you
know? that was that whole run with those two. They really did a lot of those story arcs of, like, fitting in.
Well, those are the best X-Men runs, period. Like, whether it's Byrne Claremont or whether it's, you know, even the original Kirby run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I don't think he ever got to explore fully with the X-Men. But
so what was the first independent comic you found?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
Do you?
I've thought about this a lot because people ask me. And I think kind of the first ones I remember reading were Matt Wagner's Grendel and Mage stuff in the 80s. But I know there were others.
Okay.
You know, and it, you know, as it transitioned into the 80s and that kind of start of that black and white comic boom and stuff like Comico and I guess that's when Eclipse started too, and that stuff started showing up in comic stores, and comic stores had that shift to being more of a
kind of the place where only comic book folks hung out.
Right,
it wasn't
right.
inclusive.
To becoming the focus of the comic book retail industry.
Right, yeah, yeah, right, right.
And you could find more of that stuff. So, you know, like, I remember seeing Fish Police. I remember, I don't think I ever read Fish Police, but I saw it.
I chuckled because of the same thing happened to me. I was like, what the hell is that? But I didn't open it.
I never opened it. And I remember being introduced to some of it through role-playing games. I was a big role-playing game guy, and I remember buying the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game whenever that came out. I think 86, 87.
Okay. Yeah.
And it had, like, art from the comics inside, right? Mm-hmm. They just used the same art because it was cheaper, I guess. And that kind of pulled me into that. And also, the same company, Palladium, they had their Heroes Unlimited system, and they put out a whole source book with the Justice Machine, which was Mike Gustavich from up in Cleveland.
Okay.
So that was my first Ohio comic before I ever knew I was going to be an Ohio resident, you know? So I remember those pretty distinctly, and there had to have been others. And and of course, you know, if you're not talking Marvel and DC, I did read Charlton stuff. I did.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What was the other one that Beetle Bailey was on? Was that Whitman?
Yeah, Whitman. Well, stuff. Whitman
and Charlton were kind of, they were the same company, weren't they?
No, Whitman bought other properties and just basically slapped Whitman on it. Like, there were Whitman copies of DC stuff, too. They used to have them in KB Toys, like, in bags.
Okay.
And you'd get, like, a bag of three DC comics, and they were kind of off titles. It would be like Legion of Superheroes, which nobody read, which was another big superhero favorite of mine as a kid.
Okay. So they would just slap their
logo. And they would have, like, a Whitman logo on them.
Maybe
instead
that's
of
why
DC
I was confused.
Logo.
Okay, because I thought that they had some type of working relationship with Charlton, but maybe that's what they did. They just slapped their own logo.
That's
on
exactly what they did. And Charlton did a lot of that, because there was also Modern Comics, which was just Charlton reprints. Mm-hmm. And First Comics did the E-Man stuff, which was a continuation of Charlton stuff. So
let's go ahead and kind of transition, if you will. I didn't mean to cut you off, if that was.
No, I'm done. Okay. I'm good. Okay. I could go on too long on that.
So when you started to make comics, I guess the question is why? Why did you decide that, you know, 8 years ago you sat down and go, I'm going to start doing my own comics? Like, what was the motivation behind that?
Well, I mean, it was a rediscovery of what I wanted to do as a kid.
Okay.
In part, you know, and kind of everything clicking to the point where I finally... You know, I was a foiled artist as a kid and as a young adult, and it wasn't until I was at that age where everything started clicking to the point that I could put it all together.
When you say foiled artist, because I do remember the story, would you mind sharing that story with the listeners? Because I think it was kind of impactful for you, right?
I'm not sure which story you're talking about, because I've had several, but I had a
teacher that really shot down your dreams and hopes and that?
When I went to college first at Simon's Rock College, there was a teacher who really did not want anything to do with the idea of comics. And
really?
Did not.
And that kind of crumbled a little bit, or took the wind out of your sails a little bit?
Without a doubt.
Yeah?
Without a doubt. And I, you know, talking about that clique that I'm not in, the people my age, I could have been making comics then. I could have been part of that community. And you know, everybody talks about the great teachers who influence them, and I think that's terrific. I wish I had had some of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it stuck in my head, as you think about just how much power those words had at that point in your young life, that, you know, it really shattered hopes and dreams, which
really
thankfully you came back.
I came back around, you know, and I picked at it for years. I did some painting. I did some, like, graphic design work, which I make a funny nod to in the Buck Slaughter comic. The second issue of the Buck Slaughter comic I do, which is...
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Buck Slaughter.
Vaguely autobiographical. I claim that Buck made all the money he has to run this losing store in graphic design in the 90s by designing the first the graphics for the first turn-based strategy game online, which, ironically enough, I did design.
Really?
The graphics for the first turn-based strategy game online. It was called Stellar Conquest.
Okay.
And I drew a lot of aliens, and I made a lot of little planet graphics and spaceship graphics. They were still up online, last I checked, somewhere. But there was no money in it. I didn't make a small fortune.
So that's part of the fiction of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Buck made millions on that, huh?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't say millions. I say enough for him to run the store, right? You know,
all right. Enough change to
run the store and make stupid mistakes.
Yeah, okay. So Buck Slaughter's Book of Rock and Roll Facts, you have two issues out. You said you're working on the third one right now.
Right, yeah. Third should be out in November. The first issue was kind of a setup where it was I introduced Buck and I introduced his two regular customers. That's when I talk about the store not working, he has two regular customers, which, you know, is how it felt when I did retail stuff. Only I didn't have enormously deep pockets, so it wouldn't matter. And then in the second issue, Buck helps out his the aspirations of his two customers.
Okay.
Because what I found is, when I was doing retail stuff, it's kind of cool to be a record store guy, but inevitably the people coming into the shop are the cooler people actually doing stuff.
Yeah.
And so in the second issue, he, the Wiener Kid, he's starting a band, and Buck basically, you know, buys a whole bunch of his records to like sell in the shop, and the other is a woman who's more of his peer, Sleepy, who wants to be a DJ, so he sponsors a radio show for.
Cool.
And the upshot of it though is it kind of wrecks his little world. It throws it out of whack because all of a sudden he has all of the Wiener Kids friends coming in to look at the records, not to buy them, and all sorts of people coming in because they hear the advertisements
for the radio show
from the radio show, and of course he has a very specific notion of what rock and roll records are, and it doesn't fit the mass publics. so the third issue is him kind of dealing with the upshot of having gone corporate in his mind and selling out, even though it was to help these two probably only two friends
and only two clients that come in all the time. So you also have Nick's Comics Quarterly, which is a rock and roll horror anthology book. You're going to be dropping issue 10 real soon.
Yep, September 27th will be the release party at Youth Kids Records here.
In fact, as I mentioned here in the opening, there's going to be not only just your comic, but there's going to be live music. Bob Ray Starker is going to be there. Matt Wyatt is going to be there. They're going to be performing music as well as celebrating comics.
Sure. And that's part of the intersection that Nick's Comics is I like having the rock and roll themes, but I like bringing in people from those worlds who also have talent as cartoonists to work on this stuff.
Yeah.
So, there's actually three comics coming out that day.
Yes, actually, I was going to mention the other two.
One of them involves a comic and record set, which is kind of a reprint of the Panda Bear webcomic that I had for many years with Bob Ray Starker was the illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And the music on the record, it comes as a comic and record set if you want, is by Matt Wyatt's band, The Three Speeds.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So that's kind of where they came in as the performing artists for that evening.
Yeah.
And
then you have Jenny May and Jerry Wick.
Right,
as well,
which is
the newest. And I think that's a new installment, right? Because
that's the third book.
Third book, okay.
And it's the last one, based on my friend Bela's blog. And Bela is a local independent record store label runner. He worked at and partially owned Used Kids Records for many years. And this is kind of... The comics have been based on his blog, which talks about his relationships and his losses through the period of mostly the 90s, but up to modern times, with the people he's met and the friends he's lost, kind of, and
really?
The community he's lost. Okay. Yeah, both Jerry and Jenny passed away.
Oh.
Jenny passed away just last year, in fact, after a long battle with alcoholism. And Jerry died in a car accident, or got hit by a car.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's getting to be a while ago. I think that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Now, with Jenny May and Jerry Wick, is there also a musical aspect to it as well, correct?
They are. They were both musicians. Jerry Wick was probably most noted for being in the band Gaunt, which was a big 90s college rock band, kind of from that same vein as the New Bomb Turks here in town. And Jenny May was more of a singer-songwriter. She would perform mostly by herself, but she had notable brushes with fame and has kind of a cult following.
Okay.
See,
I did not know that. I did not know that she had a cult following.
Yeah, and in fact, the record that we have released with that one has a Jerry Wick song by himself, not with Gaunt, that's previously only been on CD.
Okay.
And that was released with a comp that Bela's label put out. And then the Jenny May song's actually previously unreleased anywhere.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. So you could get the comic, and then you can get the comic and the record as well.
Yep.
Well, look at that, folks. That's,
And I have them available both. There's the comic and record set, or you could just buy the comic if you're turntable poor.
Well, you know what? Since we're talking about these books coming up, Nick's Comics Quarterly 10, you have another story of the Vicar.
Yes.
So he's a recurring character in many of your books. So let's talk so the listeners can get a little bit of a taste of who the Vicar is and what he does.
I always stumble over it when I say it because it's so patently ridiculous. But
darn it, that's what makes it awesome.
I think that is what makes it awesome, is the Vicar is the leader of a garage rock band. He's also a priest, or at least dresses like a priest. And his mission is to tour the country going to CD bar after CD bar, playing gigs, and then killing the monsters who are in the audience. Because, you know, that's like kind of the downfall of the artistic aspirations of so many of these people are like the hidden demons in
nightclubs. Oh, yeah.
That's, I don't know how well that's been conveyed to people over time, but that's that's the basis of The Vicar. It's kind of my personal vitriol for all the Lost. Kind of like Bela's stories are outright autobiographical stories about Lost, The Vicar is my kind of more metaphorical take on on it.
And for the tale that's in Nick's Comics Quarterly 10, you teamed up with Michael Nino.
Again.
Man. Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Michael's my co-creator, I consider him, for The Vicar.
Okay. I was going to ask if you did them all.
Matt Wyatt did one of them early on where Michael just didn't have the time.
Okay.
He had other commitments.
But he's your right-hand man, so to speak, for The Vicar.
He is the Vicar artist in my mind.
Okay.
And it would be hard for me... Matt did a serviceable job. You know, Matt stepped out of his realm to do that story. And he did really well, and he took critique really well. But I don't know who else could do the Vicar as we imagined him.
And then you also have another recurring character, Bus Stop Ned. Is going to be in issue 10 as well.
He's been in every issue to date as well.
Exactly. Tell folks at home, who is Bus Stop Ned?
Bus Stop Ned's a different source of horror. Bus Stop Ned is a recurring character, and he's the face for all the conversations that you overhear on the bus or waiting for the bus that you wish you hadn't heard. So all of his dialogue's taken from actual conversations.
Okay.
And it comes from Ned. And then sometimes I monkey with the setting a little bit or what somebody else might say, but his dialogue is all actual overheard.
Can I put you on the spot? What's the weirdest conversation that you put into the mouth of Ned, so to speak? Can you remember?
Oh, gosh.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot on that one, Ken.
I think my favorite, just as far as being weird, was one that I overheard when I was living in Boston. It kind of kept fading in and out, which is part of what I put into the story with like the other character is wearing a headphone, so can't quite hear him. But it was, in my case, it was actually I couldn't hear them. But it ended up with this one guy telling the other, and he bit him, but he didn't kill him. That was pretty good. And then there's one of them that's actually me in a conversation I overheard myself having with somebody. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous.
Oh, man.
So I'll let the listeners go buy copies and figure out which one that is.
Okay, there you go. There's a couple of other tales here in Quarterly 10, Nick's Comics Quarterly 10. You do one with Eddie and Squid Return from the Dead with Gideon Kendall.
Yep, Eisner Award-winning artist Gideon.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I apologize.
All due respect,
Gideon, I'm so sorry.
That was really pleasing to me that you know, three people from issue 8 won Eisners this last round.
Really?
Gideon did. My cousin Tilly Walden did.
Okay.
And John Jennings, who won for academic stuff, but he did the covered issue.
Yeah, that's cool.
But anyway, Eddie and Squid returned from dead. That was, Eddie and Squid were meant to be recurring characters early on, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
Originally they were drawn by Andy Bennett, who couldn't do it this time because he was busy doing Jerry Wick and Ginny May. But they're bikers who struggle with the philosophy of life and death, and they do it in literal sense. and in this current story they're brought back from the dead in a kind of a classic revenge tale as zombies, not the you know, the classic zombie.
The one that wants to eat brains.
What?
One that wants to eat brains?
No. The voodoo zombie.
Ah, okay.
Romero would call what you're calling a zombie a flesh-eating ghoul.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm from that school as well.
Okay, gotcha.
They're not zombies. Zombies are brought back by sorcerers.
Okay, gotcha.
But anyway, and it's that that story is very influenced, informed by the movie Sugar Hill. Which
let's just go from there. Just
and I was stumbling over the word blaxploitation, which I think is a word that's probably a term that's probably time to. It was a B movie, and it had, you know, a largely black cast, which I think was great. But it was about a revenge story about a woman who raises an army of zombies to kill criminals.
Okay.
And I messed with it a little bit. I made in the movie she was a fashion photographer. In the story that I do, she's a police detective. I bumped her up.
Well, maybe you did bump her up, or maybe some people go, I don't know, fashion photographer sounds pretty glamorous. Maybe you bumped her down.
It was better that they made her a photographer than a model in the
movie. Yeah, that's true. Okay,
I'll grant that.
Okay.
But this is my, I wanted to give her a more empowered role than her being cheesecakey.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about a few of your other books, too. And then we'll get back to these three that are coming out here and let folks know where they can get them and whatnot. But let's talk, because we talked a little bit about Buck Slaughter's book of rock and roll facts.
Right.
You also do a great, I guess you could say, kind of rock zine style of book. Tales from the Crate?
Tales from the Crate? That's a, it's a record collecting zine. It's literally, you know, it's the, you don't see a lot of them anymore. I don't know why. I've seen a few, but the premise there is every issue, I've taken $50 to a record sale or to a specific record store, and I'll write about whatever I buy and draw some pictures based on whatever I draw and of whatever I buy. And
so when you say go record sale, mm-hmm. Is it really at a record store, or do you go to flea markets? Do you go to yard sales?
The most recent issue, which came out in May, was the Columbus Record Show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which happens quarterly, or I think maybe every other month here in Columbus. Okay. So the idea is it can be anything. The first three issues were specific stores with sales going on. But then I started to branch out. And I've been thinking about branching out and doing... If I can just come up with a good EC Comics pun doing a record, doing a comic one instead of just records. So I could have Tales from the Crate and Vault of Comics.
There you go. You also do Nick's Western Comics.
Yeah.
Which I think, to be honest with you, I think that's a genre that's somewhat underrepresented. I mean, we've kind of, especially modern times, we've kind of gotten away from that great Western tales, you know.
It's out of vogue for sure.
Yeah.
And the attempts to bring it into vogue often are
not very good. Let's just be
honest. Well, or they're mashups.
And
I don't, you know, I guess the whole cowboy versus aliens, cowboy versus vampires. It was fun, you know, for Billy the Kid meets Dracula way back in the 60s, or that may have been late 50s. But anyway. I think what happens when you do that is you kind of lose what's great about the Western, which is the Western genre is one of the few that's best, few genres that's best for examining our American culture. The strengths, the weaknesses, the good, the bad. It's all there within that genre.
And you are obviously a huge fan of Westerns.
I'm a huge fan of Westerns. Magnificent Seven's my favorite, but then I love the kind of spaghetti, the darker spaghetti Westerns. Mm-hmm. And I got a soft spot for Gene Autry. Like, he's one of my favorite musical performers.
Well, you know what? That's respectable. That's respectable.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What else is on the list here? Belligerent Kitties.
I don't want to talk about Belligerent Kitties.
I love Belligerent Kitties, but okay, that's a book of yours.
No, I mean, we could talk about it. It's just...
Listen, folks, I just got to be honest with you. Ken's downplaying it, but it's genius, first of all. I'm going to give you your props. You draw cute little kitties saying the most obscene shit to people, and it's hilarious. So I'm going to give you your due.
It is. It was just spawned from this point, from this perspective of needing to sell out and feel accomplished, right? Because it was like, well, what do people actually like? People, Westerns are out of vogue. My rock and roll horror comics are appealed to a niche audience. what does everybody like? Everybody likes cat videos, and everybody likes fighting online.
The two things that you combine, fighting online and cat
videos. Yeah, I combine that belligerence with or I guess the anonymous belligerence of fighting
sure.
online.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And I combined it, and, you know, for a long time, I would set up at a table, and it wouldn't necessarily make me the most money because it's just a little $2 comic, but I would sell 5-10 of them as opposed to, you know, one of my, something I actually enjoyed making. But there's no love, personal love for me in the belligerent kitty stuff.
Okay, I get what you see. The sense of putting your heart and soul into it is not as great as some of your other books.
Yeah, it's not as uplifting to descend into nastiness. It's not
true.
even mockingly, or even, you know.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you. Well, let's talk a little bit about CXC, because you're releasing these three books that same week, exactly.
Yeah,
let's talk a little bit about Cartoon Crossroads Columbus. You know, it's going to be happening September 27th through the 30th. At a variety of different venues throughout downtown Columbus. What are you looking forward to with CXC?
I just found out today that I'm actually going to be on a panel on Sunday. I'm not sure if it's comics by people from Columbus or if it's comics about Columbus and Ohio. I think maybe the latter more.
Okay.
But that'll be on Sunday. And that's, you know, panels are fun, I think.
Yeah, I did my first... this summer, and it is fun. It is really fun.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a drag. I did one with my buddy Bruce Warden at Space that, like, we had two people in the we outnumbered the audience. But we trucked through it. Those can be a drag, but hopefully at CXC, they'll at least, like, well, they'll have volunteers who will sit.
Yeah, they'll draft people into doing it.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Are you going to be? Are you going to have a booth as well?
I do. I'll have that until they call security.
Then throw you out.
Throw me out. But I'll have that. Which is great. That's kind of, it's a juried show, so it's kind of nice that they'll have me.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, not saying that that's a. I think that's an issue in indie comics shows. I think some people feel that juried shows shouldn't happen. Some people understand them. I'm somewhere in the middle, but it is flattering.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll have that. Unofficially, I guess the release party is part of the CXC weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to that and just kind of showing everybody the new stuff.
Are there any
since I'm on OSU now, being part of the being able to attend the academic days.
Oh, okay.
Thursday and Friday. That'll be neat.
Were there any special guests that you're maybe hoping that you might run into or meet? Is it not something you're really focused on? Like, if you happen to meet them, fine. If not, you know.
Jim Woodring's pretty cool. I've already met him. I mean, okay. I've met some of these people, but, you know, I wouldn't say I had a quality conversation with him
anything. I understand.
You know, and Durf's a good friend of mine, so, like, him being a special guest is not.
Yeah, yeah, I get you. I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of better just to see the rank and file and see what the other people who are more my peers are doing in a lot of ways. Yeah, we'll see. You know, I
missed last year's, and I was upset. I really was upset because it was a fantastic, the previous 2 years that I came.
Last year had a special guest list that was a little closer to the kind of thing that...
Yeah.
I mean, it was really nice to sort of pal around with Peter Bagg.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, who was one of my big influences for Nick's Comics, for sure.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about Nick's Comics. NicksComics.com is the website.
It is.
There's also a retail section, which is Nick's NIX-retail.com.
That is, and that's a mail order site that not only features my own stuff, but a lot of other records and comics that tie into what I do. So it's... You know, it's got like over 1,000 things, so...
Yeah. I was perusing through it, and man, you do have tons of stuff.
It is, and it's... I've already thrown out the word juried, so I might as well throw out the word curated. It's a curated selection. There's a theme, mm-hmm. and it again, it's about that intersection. You know, there's cool underground comics or cool old comics, and then there's the rock music, and then there's the B-movie thing, which is harder to do these days on a retail site.
But,
you know, and it's kind of, I'm right there in that chart, right in the center.
And you can be found on Twitter at Nix Comics, N-I-X Comics. Also, Instagram, Facebook is Nick's Comics, everything.
Everything is Nick's Comics. Everything is else there. Is Nick's Comics.
That's yeah. right. Can I would like to share, I do thoroughly enjoy, and one of my favorite memories of Ken Epstein is when I helped you out with your one Kickstarter video, and the phrase
right.
about Nick's Comics. What a dick. Who named him? His name is Ken. Is that still up on the web somewhere?
It should still be on the Kickstarter.
There you go.
All right. If you're the type of person who doesn't like Kickstarter videos like I am, you should probably go look at my Kickstarter
videos. They are very anti-Kickstarter video,
They are. this last time around, this last year, I didn't have quite as much fun with it. I was shooting a little higher, so I decided to reel it in a little bit.
And be a little more serious?
Yeah, well, and it was done as a without any... in-person representation of myself. It was okay. It was just a video showing mm-hmm. pictures and playing music, which I'd done before. I did that with the Western. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it in me this time.
That was the best part.
That was a good one. I like that
one. Good one.
I don't know if you saw, I think it was the fourth issue, the one I did at the Ace of Cups with my buddy Alex.
No, I did not see that.
Brett Payne from Street Fight Radio.
Okay.
And they play the Devil and Angel on my shoulders, and it has a similar punchline where at the end I run off camera and they look at each other and go, what a dick.
Yeah. All right, Ken, anything else you want to tell the folks that are listening at home?
It's going out tonight, right?
It's going up to air tonight, yeah.
Check out Nick's Comics Quarterly on eBay. I got a bunch of auctions running right now.
Okay, there you go.
Clearing some stuff out. If you haven't had the money to invest in Nick's Comics, I get it. I got a lot that started at a dollar bidding. It's hardly gone up at all. The entire run that's in print.
All right, there you go.
I think it's at $5 right now.
If it's Saturday and you're listening to this podcast, you've missed out. Maybe, or maybe not. Just hit up Ken on eBay.
You could do that, too.
There you go.
Well, after that auction, price goes back up.
All right, Ken, thanks for coming by and talking with me, man.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, good luck with the three new books. And definitely, folks, if you're in Columbus, come on out to the release party.
Sounds good.
All right, I'll be back real quick to wrap up this episode. So if you will, please stick around. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Ken Epstein. You know, as you heard, Ken's got a lot of projects coming out coinciding with CXC. If you're in the area and you want to check out a cool festival that's celebrating, you know, cartooning and comics and art in general, then check out CXC. As I mentioned before, cartooncrossroadscolumbus.com is where you can get all the information for that. And hey, if you want to check out Nick's Comics, all you got to do is go to nixcomics.com. That's Ken's website, and his whole catalog's there, and he posts announcements and everything else there. So, definitely check it out. And before I start wrapping things up, I did forget in the intro to mention that my friends at Ohio Championship Wrestling have two big shows coming up. This Saturday, the 15th, they're going to be at the Guernsey County Fair, at the Guernsey County Fairgrounds, which I believe is near Old Washington, Ohio. 6 p.m. is the start time at that event. So if you happen to be in the area, check out some great wrestling at the Guernsey County Fair. Or if you happen to be the following week, September 22nd, OCW returns to the OCW Arena right there on Main Street in Akron, Ohio. They will be presenting an event called Conspiracy Theory. The event kicks off at 7 p.m. For more information about any of these events, just go over to ocwrestling.net or check them out on Facebook by searching for Ohio Championship Wrestling. And if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email me, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp, or you can leave me a message at the Facebook page, that of course being facebook.com/pvdcast. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to check out pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. A lot of great podcast episodes from the past are up there. But again, if you want to tell somebody about this podcast, you know, it's available a lot of different places such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, The Echo Network. Oh man, just wherever you find podcasts, search for the PVD Cast or PVD Cast John Orlando and you'll find it. So with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.